Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all doing this morning? Everybody good? Isn't Advent a great time? Don't you love the lighting of the Advent candle and the reading of God's Word, the Christmas story? I love that. Glad that you are here with us this morning. Hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us, we are especially glad you're here. And we offer to you, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We'd love for you to register with us and let us know that you're here and who you are. And you're not required to do that by any means, but would love to know that. If you want to be on our email list, put your email down there. Check that you'd like to be on the email list and just leave that card in your seat. And don't put them back in the little pocket because they're hard for us to find, but just leave it there in your seat. Several things. Billy's already mentioned the Christmas workshop this afternoon, and even if you're not involved in that, it's just you need to come and just kind of take a peek. That is a joyful time. Kids are just having a great time. I wanted to kind of, I put this in my email this week, but in case you're not on the email list, I wanted you to know we will have Christmas Eve is on Sunday this year. We will have a morning service that morning. It will be a condensed service, then we will have a Christmas Eve candlelight service that evening at 5:30, and hope that you will come and be a part of that and bring friends. We will have no Sunday school on Christmas Eve, and then the following Sunday, which is New Year's Eve, we will have no Sunday school those two Sundays. So just to kind of bring you up to speed on what's going on. Turn to me, if you would, to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Is anybody out there? I feel like I'm... Y'all are quiet, man. What? You're blessed. I am blessed as well. I got to say, I'm a little embarrassed, but I got to say, you know, Pat and Jackie, thank you for lighting our Advent candle this morning. You know, people don't know how much Pat and Jackie do for our church. They are servants, and blessed me. I don't know that y'all have lit the Advent candle before, and mostly because we didn't want people to see Jackie, I think, Pat. But no, that was a blessing to see you and your family be a part of that this morning. Ephesians 2, verse 12. Now Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, and he's primarily speaking to Gentiles, and when he refers to those who are far away and those who are close, he's speaking of Gentiles and Jews. That's the way he phrased that. Far away, meaning the Gentiles had never had access to the covenant, the God's covenant, and the Jews who were close. So he's talking about the Gentiles before Christ. He's just laid out what they were like. Verse 12. Remember at that time, and he's speaking when they were sinners. Remember at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, and we spoke of this last week, without hope and without God in the world. So when we don't have Christ, we have no hope. We don't have true hope. We talked about that last week. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Isn't that good news? For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And he's talking about this struggle between the flesh and the spirit, okay? Making one man out of two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you. who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. September the 7th, 2000, I was driving down Antley Road. As before I was a pastor, I was actually transitioning into the ministry at this point. I was driving down Antley Road headed east. And I saw a big cloud of smoke on the horizon way out there. I thought it was the airport. Thought perhaps there'd been a plane crash. I didn't know all sorts of things were going through my mind. Long story short, I found out a short time later that my brother, Jay, had been in a terrible gas line explosion. Things changed for me and my family that day, that moment. Things changed. Later that evening, they care flighted Jay to a burn hospital in Lubbock, and we were up there by his side when Jay went to be with Jesus. And I remember so vividly, and many of you have heard me say this, but I remember it so vividly, and this nurse had no idea the impact that this sentence would have on my life, but she came and she thanked me after Jay passed away. She thanked me and my family for being an encouragement to their staff. And I'm thinking, in my mind, I'm thinking, we're a mess. I mean, how could we have been a blessing to anybody? We're a mess. And she said, no, you don't understand. She said, I work in this burn unit and I see life and death situations every day, and I see families that are thrust into that moment. And she said, one of the two things is present at all times when that happens. There's either peace or panic. Peace or panic. And like I said, I don't think she had any clue the impact that statement would make on my life. Peace or panic. So I continue the sermon series today. God is with us. God is with us. And today's message is Emmanuel Peace. Now, that term just kind of came, I think it was maybe from the Lord, that last week I began to refer to it as Emmanuel Hope. I was trying to determine, okay, we got the hope of the world, which is fleeting, and we've got the hope that's in Christ because God is with us. And so I thought, well, Emmanuel, God, Emmanuel Peace, Emmanuel Hope. So we have hope, we have peace, because God is with us. Shake your head if you understand what I'm saying. We have peace because God is with us. He is Emmanuel. Now, we need to understand, and I talked a little bit about this last week, just briefly I'll just tell you, we need to understand that there's two forces coming at us at all times. One is Jesus, and Jesus came to provide peace. I mean, he wants us to have peace. Emmanuel Peace comes from God with us. Jesus said it this way as he's leaving this world to go be with the Father, to send the Holy Spirit. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So he's saying, I leave you peace, but it's not peace of the world. It's different. It's my peace. Emmanuel Peace. But we also have this force that we know is the devil. It's not just a force. The devil is real. The devil is a person. And his aim, so Jesus' aim is to provide peace. The devil's aim is to disrupt that peace. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Shake your head if you hear me. His aim is to disrupt our peace. In other words, going back to what that nurse said, he loves it when we panic. He loves it when life circumstances make us panic. Jesus said, no, I've come to give you peace. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to sow chaos and panic in our life. So these are the the two things, and here's what came to me as I was preparing for today. The good news is God wins. God wins. So while we have an adversary that comes against us and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. So I guess the question as I lead into my points today is, are you filled with Emmanuel peace this morning? I want that question to soak in for just a second. Are you filled with Emmanuel peace this morning? If not, would you like to be? So let's talk a little bit about that. First thing, Emmanuel peace is available, and I want to add the word only, available through Jesus. Emmanuel peace is only available through Jesus. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Not, do you, that in me, do you, are you those two words jumping out at anybody else? In me you may have peace. And we again, going back to Isaiah, the prophet, some 700-800 years before Jesus, he penned these words through inspiration through the Holy Spirit. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Emmanuel Peace. Secondly, Emmanuel Peace is only available through Jesus, but it comes through faith in Christ. It comes through faith in Christ. Now, the thing about we need to understand is becoming a Christian doesn't make life easy. It doesn't give us a smooth path through the rest of life because things still happen. Illness still happen. Tragedies still happen. Broken relationships still happen. But here's the difference. Jesus walks with us. Jesus is with us because he's the Prince of Peace. Now listen to this passage. I love this. Peace is tied to Christ. Therefore, Romans 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith. Justified, that word justified means to be made right. To be reconciled. To be made right before God. Since we have been justified through faith, there it is, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are justified through faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We have peace no matter what life throws at us. We can have peace. I've told this story, but it's been a few years ago. In 2006, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version if you've heard it. I was at Cheryl and the girls and I were at Duke in North Carolina, and I was taking my summer classes at Duke, and got a call one day in class. It was fortunately it was at the end of the day, and class was wrapping up, and I got a call that Cheryl and the girls had been in an automobile accident, and here we were in, you know, a different state. And I didn't know how serious it was. I didn't know anything. They told me where it was. And there was days before cell phones were big and all that. And so I just, you know, hustled over to where they were. It was July 2006. And Cheryl and the girls were okay. They had had a fender bender on the interstate. While they were working through insurance and police officers and all that, there was a man sitting on the guardrail of this highway. And I sat beside him. And his wife was also in the accident. And so this man looked like he didn't feel well, looked like things were not going real well. He and I struck up a conversation. Long story short, this man had terminal throat cancer, didn't know the Lord, and was scared flat to death. So I struck up this conversation with him. And here I'm up here, and I'm not kidding you, but when you would go in those days to go to school up there, it was like drinking out of a fire hydrant. I mean, it was all I could do to keep my head above water and just keep my classes, but I really felt like the Lord said, you need to minister to this man. And so I said, I told him I was a pastor, and you could see his eyes perked up when I said I was a pastor and that I was here for school. And I said, would you like to visit sometime, some evening? And he said, yes, I would love that. So I went over to his home. His name was Jim. He had a wife named Candy. And we visited. Ended up visiting with him several times. Again, long story short, he ended up accepting Christ, and I baptized him at Duke Seminary at the end of one of our classes. About a year, 3 months later, I got a email from Candy and said Jim had passed away. And so I sent just a short. I didn't want to bother her, but she had taken the time to let me know that. So I sent her a short email and I said, "Dear Candy, I just learned of Jim's passing. I just wanted you to know that I am sorry for your loss and my prayers are with you. As always, I wish you the very best for you. May God hold you close, Jeff." And she responded a couple of days later and said, "Thank you, Jeff. I think you would like to know that in his delirium several days before his death, Jim wrote your name a couple of times. I asked if he were thinking of you, and he nodded. I know he is with Petey Boy. They had lost a son. I know he is with Petey Boy now and that they are both whole and well and happy. Listen to this last sentence. I appreciate the peace of mind you gave Jim." I wanted her to know I didn't give Jim peace of mind. Jesus did. There's a difference. There's a difference, church, when Emmanuel peace, God with us, that kind of peace is different than anything else that can be provided. I can't provide that for you. Only Jesus can do that. Third thing, Emmanuel peace transcends feelings and circumstances. Paul to the Philippian church says, "I have learned the secret." I've learned. Let that word kind of soak in a second. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Now, Paul, as we know, I've preached on this before. Paul, man, he had a rough life. I mean, he was beaten and whipped and left for dead and mocked and falsely accused and all sorts of things was in his life. He's learned the secret of being content in any every situation. And then he says in verse 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." In other words, give it to God. The stuff, give it to God. And here's what he says. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When things come in our life that are hard, I mean, Jesus never lied to us. He said, "This world's hard. In this world, you'll have trouble, but I've overcome the world." When we give it to God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guards our hearts and our minds. It gives us Emmanuel peace. And then finally, number four, Emmanuel peace proves our faith genuine. Proves our faith genuine. Jesus said as he's leaving this earth and he's promising the Holy Spirit, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Now, the fruit of the Spirit that we find in, can anybody tell me just the book and the chapter they find the fruits of the Spirit? Come on. Galatians 5. Way to go, man. I encourage you to, what did y'all say? Somebody's, oh, y'all are cheaters. What kind of deal is this, man? You're in church, for heaven's sake. At least you fessed up. That helps a little bit. You almost sinned, okay? Just almost. I don't know if that's possible, but The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I didn't have to look at the paper because I have memorized that. There's a lot of verses that I wish I had memorized, but that's one of them I encourage you to memorize. Now, here's the deal about think about that, the fruit of the Spirit. And I've said this before, but we have, somebody here lately, I've been talking about this is a good year for pecans. Any pecan tree people in the? It's a good year for pecans, right? Most of the pecan trees are really producing. You know it's a pecan tree because pecans grow, they drop, and you pick them up and you eat them. So we understand that the fruit of the tree identifies the tree. Yes? Well, the fruit of us identifies whether we're filled with the Spirit. And it doesn't mean that we do this, that we don't ever struggle, we don't ever have a bad day, but we should exude the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. I mean, it should just really kind of ooze out of us. This is not a boastful statement. It's just because of the Spirit. I give the Spirit all the praise and glory. But that day in Lubbock in the hospital, that lady saw something different in my family. And hopefully she saw the fruit of the Spirit. Peace instead of panic. And it doesn't mean that was a easy day. It doesn't mean that that was not a very, very difficult thing that forever has changed our family. But what it means is in the midst of it, we had Emmanuel peace. And you don't have to think about it. You don't have to plan it. I mean, it's just if the pecan tree doesn't have to think about producing pecans. That's what comes out. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It proves our faith genuine. When people see those things in us, it proves our faith genuine. It proves that we indeed are filled with the Spirit. I've played this song before. It's been a while, but I've played this song before. But this song is really a very meaningful song to me. Many times as I'm preparing to write my sermon, I listen to this song because it gets me in touch with God. Gets me in touch with His Spirit. So I want you, if you wouldn't mind, just kind of, if you feel so comfortable, to close your eyes and just let this song kind of wash over you and listen for the Emmanuel peace of this song. Go ahead.
I wanna see.
peace or panic? What fruit is in our lives? God wants us to have peace, church. He wants us to have Emmanuel peace that only He provides. God with us, and because He's with us, we can have peace. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Lord, we are so humbled and grateful that You love us. We are so grateful that You came to be with us, that You became flesh and dwelt among us to show us how to live, but also to die in our place, to purchase for us justification, to purchase for us eternal life, full and abundant eternal life. We thank You that through Your Spirit, we can have Emmanuel peace. If there's those this morning, Lord, that don't have that, move in power. Move in power in their hearts and minds. Show them how You feel about them. No matter what their life has looked like, no matter what they've done or has been done to them, You love them. Your peace transcends all understanding. You are the Prince of Peace. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. About you, as we close, if you want to stand, I will be around after the service. If you would like to come and visit with me about anything that's going on, or even during this last song, or visit with me about accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what a great day to do that. Let's stand.
Faith I saw.
were once, you who were once far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ, and now we have Emmanuel peace. Go and tell someone. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.